Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
And thank you so much for joining us here on Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Berry, asking that ever-present question, are you financially fit? The truth of the matter is that more than half of us are not fit because we violate the rules or don't understand the rules of the road when it comes to our dollars and cents. But our job is to cure that, and we do it every week, and we thank you for so much for joining us. And if you're a longtime listener, you know exactly how we do it. By taking issues and breaking them down and making it comfortable for you to understand and then to go out and execute and save your dollars. Today we have a dandy show. We have a travel reporter by the name of Esmat Mangla. She writes for International Business Times, and you can find that on the line and she'll tell you where that is. But, you know, time is money, folks. And when you waste time, you waste your dollars. And recently, because of the weather, if you are one of those who flies anywhere, and Esmat is a travel reporter, you know that you can at any moment find that your flight is canceled. Okay, that's frustrating enough. But then the next step is, how do I reschedule? Who do I call? And how do I avoid that long line of people who are waiting to do the same thing that I am doing? Most of us don't have a clue. And so we suffer through whatever it takes us to either miss our flight or go get in line or make the calls or whatever we have. Well, Esmat's got some pointers for you that I think you're going to find fascinating. And we'll talk with her about ways around those long lines that you get tied up in when you are trying to reschedule or whatever you may be doing. Along those lines. We're also going to be talking with Cameron Huddleston, no stranger here. She's the online editor for Kiplinger. She writes the Kip Tips, as you know, and she's very popular here on the show because she comes up with some great stuff that is helpful to you as a consumer. This time she's talking about debt. How do you manage this debt? What are the little things that you can do that might get you out of debt or help you toward being a consumer that doesn't owe anybody anything? Doesn't that sound delicious? Well, it is, and she will talk to us as well. But first, we turn to Esmat Mangla, travel reporter for International Business Times, as we talk about this business of cutting to the front of your airline's customer service line. Welcome to Home and Family Finance. Esmat, nice to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
I think what you have bitten off here, my lady, is more than you can chew. It's not possible. And I speak from experience. It is not possible to get to the front of these lines. How do you do that?
It seems like it's not possible, but there are some little tricks that you can employ to give yourself a leg up. And, you know, when we have any kind of bad weather, like this winter's storms all around the country have grounded so many flights, anything that you can do to sort of give yourself a leg up on the hordes of travelers that are all trying to get through to the same customer service agents you are, that's going to give you a little bit of an edge.
You know what? I never thought about that. So let's tell our audience some of the things that you've had suggested here. I love the idea of calling the airline's international customer service line.
The major airlines all have overseas locations where their staffers speak English, just like they do here in the U.S. And they're able to help you just as well as their U.S.-based counterparts can, as long as their office is open, because not all call centers are 24 hours. And most people aren't going to be thinking about calling them. Most people are going to be calling their customer service number here, the 800 number here in the U.S.
Yeah.
So,
and forget about that. Forget about it, calling. Come on. I mean, that is so frustrating. I get angry just sitting here talking and thinking about it. Because if you get through the electronic process, you get put on hold, and we'll be with you with the next customer. And if you're sitting there trying to catch the next flight out, and you don't have a lot of time, Isma, what can be more frustrating than not talking to a human being?
Oh, it's crazy making, and you're listening to that music, and you're and all you want is to get through to a real person. So that's why I suggest, you know, trying the international customer service line number, because most airlines list those numbers on their websites. You can Google your airline's name and international customer service and find that phone number. And if you don't want to pay for a pricey international call, I would suggest connecting with Skype or Google Voice for either a free or cheaper connection.
If you're able to get to a human being, you don't care whether it's pricey or not. You just want to say, hey, get me on the next flight, help me out here, and don't put me on hold.
Definitely, because when airlines cancel flights, they do automatically rebook you, but not necessarily on the flight or when you want to be put on. Once I was on a flight that got canceled and I was supposed to be in San Francisco for the weekend, they booked me on a flight, you know, that was going out on Monday. So that whole trip would have been just useless to me. So that's why you want to be able to get to someone who can help you get to where you're going, when you're going.
Well, when you call this international customer service line, they know what you're doing. Are they willing to help, or do they just simply say, go away?
Oh, no. If you get through to them, they're not going to cut you off. They are just as able to rebook you on a flight as any agent here in the U.S., so there's really no downside in giving them a call.
Okay, so it's worth a try anyway, just to see if you get through. And if you do, good for you, right? I mean, it's like, wow, you're ahead of the game. We're talking with Isma Mangla. She is a travel reporter. Well, it's not simple, but you know, it's things that you didn't think about. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other ways that might be helpful in getting you around that long line of people on the phone or standing out in front of a desk at an airline. And this works for any company. I mean, you can do that if you're traveling, for sure. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Isma Mangla. She is a travel reporter for International Business Times, and she's taken on the Herculean task of helping you get to the front of the line when you've been bumped or when things have changed in your travel, your travel purposes. And now, how do you get to somebody? One of the things she suggested here is by going to the airline's international customer service. They work for the same airline. They're willing to help you. But she also has another idea here, a foreign language call center like the Spanish. How does that work?
I was a little skeptical when I first heard about this trick, but it actually works. I would suggest calling your airline's customer service number, and often right at the beginning of the call, you're asked if you're a Spanish speaker, and you can sort of press 2 for that line. I say go ahead and say yes, because the lines for Spanish speakers are often shorter, and your goal really is to get a live person on the phone, and these agents generally speak English as well. So I would say go for it.
Sure.
Some airlines even have numbers that are dedicated specifically to foreign language speakers, which you can find on their website. I would suggest sticking to, say, the Spanish-speaking lines rather than maybe the ones for Mandarin speakers, because you're more likely to find an English speaker on the Spanish ones. And it's a little sneaky, but
if you get through,
go ahead,
boy,
and give it a try.
Absolutely right. And what about your elite status, because of our frequent flyers or because of the or whatever program we're on? Should I say, hey, look, I'm an elite flyer here. Do something here.
Absolutely. You should definitely milk your elite status if you have it. Some airlines have a dedicated phone line for their elite flyers, so I would check your frequent flyer card for that number. Other airlines will automatically route you to the front of the line if you have elite status, but it's sort of worth it to know what the phone numbers are. And other airlines like Delta have mobile apps that will connect you directly to the elite line with a tap on the screen. So it's worth knowing what perks come with being an elite frequent flyer.
If you're bold enough to give it a shot, they're willing most likely to say, okay, let me help you and get you on your way.
Absolutely. I've never had a problem. Once you get through to a real person, they're not going to say, well, how did you get this number? You know, they're going to help you and get you to where you need to go.
What about alternate or less known numbers? I mean, you know, I've even dialed a number and dialed a digit below or above the call number, thinking that maybe, you know, if I dial that way, I can get through.
Ooh, that's clever. Did it work?
No.
Well, you know, some airlines do have alternate phone numbers for specific purposes that they don't necessarily publicize as much as, you know, their main help number. For example, Delta has a toll-free airport help number that's dedicated specifically for flight rebooking. And a couple of weeks ago when a lot of the airlines, you know, when there were all these cancellations and there was a peak of the rebooking rush, I called that phone number and was patched through to a customer service agent within seconds. The normal 800 number was, you know, putting me on hold for a really long time. So the way to find those numbers, there are two websites that are sort of dedicated to helping you find company contact information.
Oh, okay.
They are gethuman.com and contacthelp.com. And a lot of times you'll find all sorts of numbers listed there other than just the sort of main number that everybody knows.
All right. So contacthelp.com or gethuman.com. You can go there and see if you get some alternate numbers that might be helpful to you.
Absolutely.
Well, what about just getting plain old funky if you're at the airport and raising hell in the line? Does that help?
Everybody's kind of stuck in the same boat that you are. So if you get nasty and unpleasant, you're actually, I think, probably hurting your chances to get help because no one wants to help the unpleasant person.
Right.
In fact, I think the politer and kinder you can be, the more likely you are to get help. In fact, I talked to one business traveler who told me that during the Christmas rush, there were a lot of cancellations and, travelers were understandably upset and getting a little bit irate. And he was just really kind to the gate agent that was helping everyone. And he ended up getting the last seat on the next flight out, and it happened to be in business class.
So I get that, and I believe it, too. We're talking with Ismet Mangla, a travel reporter who knows her stuff. When we come back, we're going to ask her, does it help to get social? You know, what else can you do to make sure that you get the best possible shot of getting to the front of that long, long line? This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our idea is to make you a better consumer when it comes to your home, your family, and your future. Our program sponsor is the Defense Credit Union Council, DCUC, and we thank them for their continued support of the program, along with CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. They, too, want you to be financially fit. Defense Credit Unions have been serving our U.S. military since 1928, folks, as nonprofit financial institutions. Defense credit unions don't have stockholders to answer to, but they do have you, our member owners. It means lower fees, better rates, and always, always community-based. So defense credit unions understand the financial needs and challenges of a highly mobile membership. And because we are where you are, there's no need to walk outside the gates for services when you need a small dollar loan or just some real straight-up financial counseling. Of course, we have all of the other standard products and services like savings and checking accounts, auto loans, ATMs, and online banking. For Department of Defense civilians, service members, retirees, National Guard, reserves, and their families, Defense Credit Unions are there for you at all stages of your active career and beyond. Defense Credit Unions, join once, member for life. Go to dcuc.org to find your nearest Defense Credit Union today. Do that. It's all good news for our servicemen and women serving all over the world. All right. Well, my guest is Ismet Mangla, who is a travel writer and reporter for the International Business Times. She is a veteran out there and is sharing some of the secrets that she has learned about how you can move up in line when things don't go the way they're supposed to, whether you're on the telephone or at the airport. One of the concerns, or at least one of the options I think you might have, Ismet, is using social media, or is that not helpful?
Oh, using social media definitely cannot hurt. In my reporting for International Business Times, I found that many airlines staff their social media accounts with customer service representatives who are empowered to actually handle flight changes and reservations. So I like this trick because you can do it simultaneously while you're on hold or while you're in line at the airport. Go ahead and tweet your airline or leave a Facebook comment, because a lot of times when the phone lines are jammed, a quick tweet can actually get you the help you need.
Wow. What a great idea. And of course, we have to think along those lines today. The beauty of it, it's an option that we didn't have before, right?
Definitely. And I say it's just increasing your chances because you're sort of doubling up. You're waiting to get to an agent, but you're also going online and getting social. And usually they will, you know, message you back and say, can you direct message me your flight number and information? And they'll take care of it for you.
Now, this is something I never thought about. You said buy a day pass to an airport lounge. That can be rather expensive, though, right?
Well, but like you said, it could be the money well spent, because many airlines like Delta and United, they'll sell one-time day passes for around $50.
Okay.
Now, I don't know about you, but when I've been stranded at an airport when there are tons of people who are grounded, it's not exactly a pleasant scene. So when everyone is clamoring for access to a gate agent, that could be the best $50 you ever spend.
That's right.
Because in the airport lounge, you have access to agents who are less busy. And bonus, you can sort of relax in a less crowded environment and have a few free drinks and, you know, just generally calm down a little
bit. Yeah, if you see that things are going south, run out and get it. Just, I guess you go inside and say, let me buy a pass. Is that how you do it? Is that how it works?
Exactly. You just go to the desk and say, I want to buy a day pass, and they're typically around $50.
Okay, and we're talking about the desk inside the lounge, guys, not out there on the concourse. This is, you go inside the lounge, even though and say, look, I'd like to buy a pass to spend time in here, and they'll give you that, and you get free drinks, and you have a place to sit down, and you can make contact, talk with the agent right there, because she doesn't have 1,000 or 2,000 people clamoring to get to it. That's a great point.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
Exactly.
But, you know, ultimately, how about a higher up? We just got less than a minute. Contacting a higher up, you say, is another way to do this, right?
Yes. Now, this again is, you know, something you can do to kind of increase your odds. But thanks to the power of Google, you can find the contact information for company executives like vice president for customer relations pretty easily. I would suggest, if you can find that info, send them an email. A friend of mine actually did this when her flight to Hawaii was canceled and everyone was at the airport scrambling to talk to a customer service agent. She found the VP of customer relations for her airline, shot him off an email, and his team responded to her right away and got her onto the next flight when everyone was still clamoring to get to someone.
This might, it's fabulous. I could talk to you long. I've got to run, but thanks. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Absolutely.
All right. This is Matt Mangala, folks. He's giving great tips. Put them in order. This is Home and Family Finance.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You know, it's frustrating, and I'm part of the problem, folks, because I'm in debt just like you are. I'm facing the same challenges that you are. More than half of us in these United States have debt, and lots of it. The average amount owed per consumer, this is per person out there. That means every man, woman, and child is $17,000, a little bit more than that. That's according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, its most recent consumer credit report. Even we put our kids through college, and when they get out, they owe debt that they can't even possibly pay. We owe more student debt today than we do credit card debt. It's unheard of. And that doesn't even include real estate loans, just credit card balances, auto loans, student loans, and other personal loans. So what is your strategy for paying it down? Well, We are very pleased to tell you that someone who has been on the show many times before, she is Cameron Huddleston. She writes the daily Kip Tips columns for Kiplinger.com. You can go online and see it there. She joined Kiplinger's back in 2001 after graduating from American University with a master's in economic journalism. Prior to that, she worked for Dow Jones Newswires, covering convertible securities and junk bonds. She has a bachelor's of arts in journalism and Russian studies from Washington and Lee University. Her title now is online editor, and she's been thinking about debt and what can be done about it. Welcome to the program, Cameron. Nice to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Are you as afraid about this and worried about this debt as I am about we can't continue to be a nation of debtors, can we?
Well, you know, according to all the reports, it's just the amount that we owe just keeps going up year after year. And as you mentioned, student loans in particular, I mean, that's a huge burden for a lot of people.
It's just terrible. I mean, it's a downer when you finish graduating from college. You've got a great education, and you come out, and you look at your statement, and you realize that you're $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in debt, and you don't even have a job. But folks, the thing that I think, and Cameron, I think you agree, is not to be, to become downtrodden. Don't give up. You've got to do something about it. And that's one of the things that you were looking at some different strategies. Talk to us about some of the strategies that you think might be helpful.
I did. You know, I recently talked to several people who had pretty big debts, debts that are larger than that average that you mentioned, the $17,000. And they managed to pay off these debts in a relatively short period of time, 3 years or less. So it really goes to show that it can be done. In general, it comes down to cutting spending, mm-hmm. and often cutting spending dramatically. Often you need to sometimes find another extra source of income, you know, whether that's getting a second job, whether that's selling things you don't need, and really creating a budget. And all of these people I spoke with said, you know, this is not a permanent lifestyle change. They were committed to paying off their debt quickly, so they made some drastic changes, but they only had to make these changes for a few years, sometimes in just a few months.
Right,
of course,
right.
You know, for the long term, you have to perhaps change your approach to spending, mm-hmm. But to pay off your debt quickly and really quickly, you know, sometimes it's just a short-term sacrifice.
So, Cameron, what you're suggesting here is that you can't just kind of go along. You've got to confront this and say, okay, we're going to make some changes in our life. We're going to look at the numbers here, and we're going to do whatever we have to do to lower these numbers based on strategies that we put in place. In other words, we've got to be proactive here.
Yes, at the beginning of the year, every year, people typically make resolutions, and one of those top three resolutions is to pay off debt. But oftentimes when people make that resolution and resolve to pay down their debt, they think they're going to do it, but they don't really come up with a plan. And a lot of times they don't even know how much they owe. So the first step is really looking at what you owe. You know, how much do you owe on your student loans in total? How much do you owe in credit cards? How much do you owe on your auto loans? A lot of the people I spoke with, you know, they were making good money. And so their debt wasn't putting them at the point of bankruptcy.
Yeah, it wasn't overwhelming at that point. But
right, it wasn't overwhelming, but when they looked at it and they realized how much they owed, they thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I owe $25,000. Yeah. I owe $50,000. I owe, you know, even $100,000. Yeah. And, you know, until they actually added up all the numbers, they had no idea how much they actually owed. And a lot of times we might look at those monthly credit card statements as just bills, you know, in the same way we'd look at our water bill or our electric bill.
Yeah.
You know, we're paying the minimum, we're making that payment, it's going to get paid off sometime, but we don't actually think about the actual cost, the true cost of that debt, because you're not just paying off, you know, what you owe, what the amount that you use to pay for that sweater at the store or whatever, mm-hmm. but you're paying interest too. So oftentimes you're paying twice as much is that original purchase if you are carrying that balance or paying that loan slowly over time.
So time is the enemy here. And as you, in other words, you might pay the minimum amount, but if you do that, you're going to pay a heck of a lot more for that sweater than if you tried to get it paid off as quickly as you can.
Exactly. So there was one couple I spoke with, and the wife had $80,000 in student loan debt.
and they paid that off in less than 3 years.
Wow.
And if they had paid only the minimum, it would have taken them at least 20 years to pay it off, and they would have paid another $40,000 in addition to the $80,000 they borrowed.
Wow. And lots of people only pay the minimum amount because they say that's all they can afford to pay. The question is, can you really afford to pay the minimum? You've got to pay more, right?
Right. You know, and if you think about it, it's easy just to pay that. And the wife, her minimum payments were actually pretty high. They were $700 a month, but she did not want to be paying $700 a month
for the rest of her life.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, they sat down and they figured out, you know, this is how much money she's making. After bills, how much extra money does she have in her budget? And every dollar extra that she had each month went toward her debt. You know, and as I mentioned, it took them 3 years. So it was 3 years of scrimping, but now they're free of that student loan debt.
We're talking with Cameron Huddleston, who is the online editor for Kiplinger Magazine. And what she's saying, folks, you've got to jump in here and take charge of this. You can't just allow it to happen. You have got to say, wait a minute. You know what? I'm not going to pay $40,000 because I'm taking 20 years to pay off what I really could pay off in 3 years. That's the message from Kim today. And when we come back, we'll talk about, some other ways that you can get out of debt. Don't just sit there and feel sorry for yourself. That's not going to do a thing. You've got to be proactive, and Kim has got some answers. We'll be right back.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council, or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
I'm so pleased to have Cameron Huddleston with us from Kiplinger.com. She writes the daily Kip Tips for the magazine. She knows what she's doing, master's in economic journalism, is experienced in terms of telling you, folks, you can make this work for you, but you can't give up. And that's the problem. Too often you get into debt, you throw up your hands, and you say, I'm lost. No, you're not lost. You're not lost unless you want to be lost. You can make this work. If you have to get a second gig to help pay off things, you have to go to work, but you can work it out. And Cam, I think more and more young people are debtors are realizing that they can work their way out of this.
You know, I would hope so. I mean, certainly the people I spoke with are, but clearly a lot of people are not, just considering that, you know, Americans owe, you know, combined $3.3 trillion in consumer debt. That's a lot.
That's with a T, $3.3 trillion.
Trillion, yes.
That's just scary numbers. It really is. But
yes.
I like the idea that you say in the sell what you don't need.
Yeah, look around your house, because chances are you have stuff that is cluttering your closet, taking up space in your garage or your attic, and you can sell it. Whether you want to sell it on your own at a yard sale or on eBay or on Craigslist, or whether you want to take it to a consignment store and let someone else kind of do the marketing for you, and you get usually 50 to 60% of the price at which it is sold. You know, there are just so many easy ways that you can sell what you don't need. And I've done this many times. You know, I've had furniture that we weren't using, perhaps things that I had inherited. I knew I was never going to set out at my house. I sell clothing on consignment.
Yeah.
You know, and every time I go and pick up a check, it's, you know, a couple $100.
Right.
Easy. Easy way to make money.
And not only that, but if you're smart with it, you don't go to the restaurant and eat it up. You apply it to one of your bills, right? You apply it to something that you owe money on.
Exactly. You know, and it really comes down to making that commitment to paying off that debt as quickly as you can, you know, and looking and thinking of it that way. Hey, I just got, $200 from selling this furniture on consignment or selling it on Craigslist. I'm going to deposit in my account, and I'm going to turn around, and right away I'm going to make an extra payment for my credit card this month.
And by the way, folks, you got to read the, you got to go to read the article by Cameron, because one of the couples that I thought this was brilliant. They had a couple of cars, a fairly new car, and then another car that they owed money on. So what they did, as I understand it, Cameron, is they sold both cars, which got that debt out, and then they bought cheaper, less expensive cars and paid cash for that, so they didn't have any car debt.
Exactly. You know, and it meant driving around an older car for a while, but like you said, you know, they didn't have any auto loans at that point.
And if you don't have auto loans, folks, guess what you got? You got money to apply on other things as well.
Exactly. And you know, whether that's, you know, covering your regular bills or putting it toward debt, toward student loan, you know, even paying off your mortgage early if you want to.
What are there services out there that you know of that can be helpful? Sometimes we just, and again, you made the point, Cameron, you got to know where you stand here. In other words, you got to know, you know, how much you make and how much you're paying. You put yourself in a position to at least understand your condition. And if you do that, then you can start from that point, right?
I think so. And it can really be as simple as creating a spreadsheet. You know, you write down, you type in what you earn each month, and you look at your statements to see how much you're paying and all your bills each month. You add it up, and then you see how much you have left. And, you know, whatever you have left, obviously you're going to have to use a little bit of money to pay for food. But, you know, if you have to cut out restaurant meals for a while so that you can pay off that debt, then you do that. And a lot of the people I spoke with did that. You know, they realized how much money they were spending on food a month. And some of them, you know, it's just in grocery spending and realizing that they were planning poorly for all of their grocery shopping and spending way more than they needed to and buying things that they ended up throwing away. And that's just a waste of money. So.
It is. And that's where we come in to talk about a budget for folks here. You know, I went to the store last night. And I was there's a store I love called Whole Foods. You may have heard of that, Cameron.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm in there strolling around. You know, they got cheeses that I love. They got peanuts. You know, I got this stuff. I mean, I didn't need a lot of stuff, but I ended up buying. When I got to the cash register, it came to over $100. And I was like, "What are you talking? Wait a minute, what did I get?" That's because I didn't shop on a budget. I had no plan. I had, you know, I was just in there kind of, and that's where we go wrong sometimes, right, Cameron?
Right, especially when it comes to grocery shopping. But if you don't have a plan, you don't have goals that you are trying to achieve, you know. And so if you don't have a plan, you know, one use of your money is as good as another. And especially if you're in the supermarket, you know, when you go in there without a list, I mean, you're going to buy whatever looks really good to you at that moment. You're not going to buy things that are on sale. You're not going to necessarily buy things that you need or that are going to help you create meals for the rest of the week.
And don't go into a store hungry, folks, especially a grocery store, because you're going to buy a whole lot of stuff that you don't need. And I found it out just last night. My bill came to $140. And I took some of that stuff back. I said, I really don't need this. It wasn't whether I could afford it or not. It wasn't part of my budget. That's what you got to deal with, and you got to be disciplined to do it. I'm talking with Cameron Huddleston. She is the writer for Kip Tips and is online editor for Kiplinger Magazine. When we come back, we'll get some more good tips from her about how you can meet your budget. Listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Are you financially fit? The truth of the matter, folks, is many of us are not, including your host. We have to learn the hard way, but let's learn and let's do better. No one knows any of this better than my guest, Cameron Huddleston, who is the online editor for Kiplinger Magazine, and her recent article is on proven strategies to help you tackle big debt. It's not that Cameron's tips won't work, is that you don't have the discipline to do what you need to do. And Cameron, I think that's one of the first words. You've got to have discipline to say, I'm going to stick with this until I get myself out of debt, right?
Exactly. And if you know you are going to succumb to temptation, then you need to avoid it. This is one of the strategies that one of the people I spoke with used, and you had mentioned earlier about going into Whole Foods. Well, you know, if that is your weak point, avoid that store.
Don't go. Cameron, don't go. I mean,
the stores where you spend unnecessarily. You know, and if you're signed up for all those emails from retailers that let you know when they're having their sales, which can be a good thing, but if that's prompting you to spend more, get off those email lists. You know, if browsing the web and looking at, any sort of site that's encouraging you, that's prompting you, that's spurring you to spend, you know, stop doing it. Avoid temptation. Easy way, you know, to cut spending is just eliminate that temptation to spend.
Two questions. First of all, are you financially fit? Do you feel like you are, Cameron? I don't. I'm just, we're not talking personal information, but just overall, do you feel like you're financially fit now in your life?
Pretty good. You know, my husband and I have both paid off our student loans, which feels great. And with the payments that we were making towards student loans, once we were done paying them off, you know, we have applied those payments to other things.
Brilliant.
To accelerate other, you know, repayments.
Right. It feels good. At the point you make, it does feel good. There's nothing that feels better when you say, the debt is gone. I'm not in debt. The real secret is to stay out of debt because it's easy to go right back in, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's so easy, folks. Okay. Let's tell our audience, they can go to Kiplinger.com to see the Kip tips and find out more. But what about somebody that really does need some help? Can you give us some tips as to where they might go?
There are. You know, for starters, you know, if you perhaps have a trusted family member who might be able to help you, one person I spoke with, her son-in-law actually helped her create a budget and really start focusing on paying off debts. You know, not everyone has that person in their life. There are services. You can find a legitimate credit counseling service through the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. That's nfcc.org, or also the Association of Independent Credit Counseling Agencies. That's aiccca.org. And the important thing here is legitimate. You know, these credit counseling agencies are often going to provide free services. They're going to help you create a budget and rein in your spending. And, you know, if necessary, you know, sometimes they'll reach out to your creditors and help you negotiate payment plans.
And the beauty is that they do that at either minimal or no cost to you. In other words, they're not out to rip you off.
Right.
They're out to help you. So don't be afraid. You know, people say, well, I can't call because I can't afford it. Well, you don't have to afford it. You can't afford not to call because these places are put in place. The NFCC is designed to help you. And they have programs that cost you nothing except your time. And Cameron, it's the best time people can spend if they do this.
Right. You know, and there are also plenty of applications, smartphone apps that you can use that can help you with budgeting. Mint is a good one. Credit.com has a great calculator. It's like a lifetime of debt calculator that shows you the real cost of your debt, just so you understand how much that debt is actually costing you over time. You know, plenty of free resources out there to help you.
Folks, you know the person that I really dislike most, and I don't mean personally, but I mean behavior, is the one that says, oh, I can't do anything. I don't know what to do next. Don't be a defeatist about this. Get busy making a difference. Isn't that important, Cameron?
It is, you know, and if it's really important to you, you might have to make some sacrifices, but one person I spoke with actually, to make it feel less like a sacrifice, she created a reward system. Every time she paid off the debt, she crossed it off the list and got a very small reward. Not something that cost a lot of money, but
beautiful.
Something small just to motivate her.
Cameron Huddleston, thank you so much for once again coming in and giving us some clarity when it comes to this business of debt. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you for having me.
Come back again, would you please?
Sure.
Okay, we love having you on the program. And folks, we love having you here on the program as well. We hope you've learned something. It's all about you. It's all about being financially fit. Are you? And if you're not, what are you doing about it? Do something about it. I'm not. I'm in the same bucket you're in. Let's climb out together, okay? Al, thank you so much. Al Peterson, our engineer, Tally Berry in Thailand, who contributed to the show. We'll be back here next week, same time, same place, looking for you.